It's a tough subject, Pauline. I'm glad you're here to help us through it.
We're taking it day by day over here.
Well, so I was talking on the other side about the courage of people and to see, you know, I think one of the most difficult things of this whole ordeal is how humanity is stripped away from people. But it's so cool to see where people are fighting for those. And I do have a sound bite to play, and it was I watched this clip, and it was I was snuggling with my son. He's 8, and this came up on the reel, and it both like broke me and inspired me at the same time. I don't know if Connor can play that. And so what you're hearing is it's like in the middle of the night in Minneapolis, and there's people with whistles going through the streets saying, stay inside, they're here, close your doors, all that stuff. You know, trying to keep people safe, and like there's the instances of that. It's cool to see resistance to this, and and trying to help people through really, really hard times. Yeah. And I think it's cool, the organization that you work for, Project for Pride and Living. What are you guys doing?
Yeah. So a little bit about our organization. We're a nonprofit here in the Twin Cities. We've been around for more than 50 years, and we're most known for affordable housing, but we also do career readiness services. And on top of that, we also run 2 alternative high schools, which is a lot.
Oh, wow.
I understand that I'm explaining to you that it's a lot.
I didn't know you had high schools too. Holy cow.
Yeah, I think over time our organization realized that, you know, putting a roof over someone's head isn't enough, because what happens when they can't afford that? And then how can you afford that if you don't have the education? So it's all about meeting people where they are and taking care of the whole person. And for so long, that work, what we like to say is we help create places for people to live and pathways for them to thrive. And that work doesn't know race, ethnicity, or gender. And yet in this very moment, that work that we do, the communities we serve, the participants, the residents, they are being directly impacted by those factors out of fear and uncertainty. It's almost like uncharted waters that we're dealing with right now. But going back to that resilience part, I mean, we see resilience in our staff because one, our staff very much reflects the communities that we serve. More than 60% of our staff are people of color.
Oh, cool.
And so they're still choosing to do the work to help the people we serve, whether that be immigrants, refugees, it's anyone. And we're providing those resources to ultimately try and break that cycle of poverty and to build strong communities. And so we are continuing that work, but then we're also seeing resilience, especially among our young people. And so we have had youth who have said, you know what, I will take public transportation so that those who may need it more can take the safer route home. We've had youth who have stood up for their coworkers and businesses and protected them in times of need. We have had our staff who have so eloquently and so seamlessly switched to provide virtual services for people so that they don't miss a beat, so that they can continue with whether it's their schoolwork or course career training and do it at their own pace, all while dealing with all of the noise that is happening around them and outside of them. And so you talk about those stories of resilience. I mean, that's really what has kept us going and us being able to do our work, because we know people need it and we know people value these resources, and we know what we do ultimately helps build strong communities for the better. It benefits us all.
Right. How do you guys, like that's a, that is like an all-inclusive thing. We help people, right?
Yeah.
How are... the people you help, how are they being impacted and what are they feeling?
Yeah. And it's hard too, because they're directly in it, right?
Yeah.
And so kind of similar to what I mentioned before. I mean, now we're hearing from residents who are saying, we don't feel safe going out. We need help. We need help with groceries. We need help with transportation to know that we can safely get from point A to point B. With our schoolwork, we don't feel comfortable going outside, but we want to continue with our schoolwork. We know that it's important. We need to get it done. So we want to get it done virtually. And so it's just, it's from all aspects of life that they're being impacted. And it's just, it's so heartbreaking to see, but the resilience again is really what has really motivated all of us to continue doing the work that we do.
What, it's almost beyond like, this is happening here in the United States. You know, it's something that I mean, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have thought that we would be talking about something like this. I don't want to ask you what the mood of the community is, but like the people that you know in your crowd, what?
Oh, the mood changes all the time, Mark.
Yeah.
It really does. And I think we're doing our best to find moments where we can smile. And that can be really hard, but you think of the little moments, right? We talk about the resilience, but we also talk about the fact that, you know, I've had so many colleagues stop by my office and be like, how are you? That simple, something simple like that, to know that you are seen and that you are valued and you're cared for, that goes a long way. Like, there are moments where you can smile and you can still see the good in people.
Yeah.
It's just making sure now that you can really, that you really do pay attention to those moments.
How have you been able to, you know, we talked a little bit about this being a TV person and like you weren't allowed to have an opinion. How do you take some time to like allow yourself to feel?
Oh my God. Sometimes I just need to sit with my own feelings. I need to like stop with the social media. I need to stop. I turn off the TV and sometimes I just need a little bit of silence, to be perfectly honest with you. And I just need to, some time to think. And then other times too, it's almost like I need to be in community. I need to go and be with people. And the other night we were, my fiance and I, we were meeting up with one of my former colleagues, actually my former photographer at WCCO.
Okay.
And then he and his wife, and we were just like, you know what? I really needed this.
Yeah.
I needed a moment to laugh and I needed a moment to smile in a safe place. And you can find those moments. They might be a little bit harder to find. And, you know, you have to take a little bit more care and consideration where you go, depending on who you are. But the moments are there. It's just really making sure that you prioritize that when you can, when it's safe to.
How does Project for Pride and Living help with those moments too?
Oh my, we make sure that we do celebrate when
you just lit up when you're like, ah!
We try. Okay. And it's been so great just to see that, yes, the work that we do is hard. The daily grind is so hard. I mean, you're talking about helping people achieve the American dream, and that is hard. It's not like going to happen overnight. But when you do, when someone closes on their first home, when they are accepted into one of our new affordable housing properties, when they graduate from one of our schools, man, is that a good feeling. That is a fantastic feeling to know that what you're doing is having a direct impact on people. I used to say, so I was in news for about almost 15 years.
Really?
And for 15 years, for 15 years, I had a front row seat to history, to documenting history.
Yes.
But now I get to play a part in the solution.
Yeah.
Right? And it's so refreshing. Like I love it. Don't get me wrong, I miss my colleagues. I miss being, you know, in the know, but at the same time too. it's finding like this different purpose that you have in life.
Yeah.
No matter when, at what point in life it is, it's finding this different purpose in life to be able to make a tangible difference in the community.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
And that is, yes, it is. And I'm proud of you. And you're doing some awesome stuff. When it comes to, because good Lord, I mean the history that you had a front row seat for, and then you know you get you get out of the news and it's like, all right, can we be done with this?
Yeah.
And here we are again. You know, and, yeah. And poor Minneapolis. I mean, you know, with everything with the George Floyd and the riots, I have a friend who is like a freelance guy, and he goes down to the protests every night and, mm-hmm. and covers it. And he did it for the George Floyd stuff. Like, it's just insane what that community has been through over the last handful of years.
And also insane as to how they continue to bounce back.
Yes.
I mean, are we fully back yet? Not necessarily. Not necessarily, but people haven't given up yet. And that is something to remember and something to, you know, just really spotlight, is that people haven't given up.
What would you say to people who, you know, might hear that story or read your post and say, well, it's not a big thing. This wasn't an issue 6 months ago. Like, it'll pass. What would you say to people like that?
It'll pass, but I encourage you to think about the human impact on people, not just you, but people who may look different from you. It'll pass is one thing, but perhaps it might take longer for us to really come back together, I don't know, as a human race, as a community, to be able to really support each other and to grow from this. That's going to be hard. And what shape that looks like in the future, we're unsure yet, right?
Yeah, I think it'll pass, but we shouldn't be here to begin with. You know, it's sad to see empathy for people and almost lost at times and not able to understand that, you know, there are different struggles than the struggles of someone who looks like me. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. And I post this, and I to this day, I haven't been stopped by ICE.
Yeah.
I haven't. And I haven't gone out a lot either, just because I just don't feel comfortable in doing so. But at the same time, too, that doesn't mean that others haven't.
Right.
Right? Put yourself in the shoes of the mom of an immigrant, a legal U.S. citizen who was stopped, or who maybe did have a run-in, who had to prove that they were here legally, even though they have been for years. Put yourself in the shoes of a loved one who their loved one was taken by ICE. It's. I think we are all better off when we can have a broader sense of what is happening from multiple perspectives, and not just think that our own is the correct one. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I. As we wrap it up here, I again. You know, I appreciate you having the courage to say things that people do need to hear. And I would imagine that's pretty refreshing as a news person, being able to say something like that. But I genuinely appreciate that. And please do stay safe. It was great to see you. And I'm sure everyone here in Wisconsin is going to be like, and happy to see that you're doing amazing things. And thank you so much for your time. And thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Pauline, you're the best. Hang in there. Appreciate you.
Thanks.
We'll be back on the Rational Revolution right after this.